Welcome to this edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Jim Burris, and we begin today with a number for you, 1.2 million. That's the expected number of adults age 65 and older who will be living in Metro Atlanta by 2040. And here's another figure for you, 30%. That, on average, is how much of a household's income that can be spent on housing and still meet the federal definition of affordable. Well, today, more than half of Metro Atlanta's seniors spend more than 30% of their income on housing. Those snapshots are just a small part of what's detailed in a new report by the Atlanta Regional Commission. It's titled Metro Atlanta's Senior Housing Shortage.
And today on Closer Look, we continue our series of conversations on affordable housing with a look at the local aging population. Joining us now in studio to talk more about this is Mary Bloomberg with the Atlanta Regional Commission's Division of Aging and Health Resources. Also, Dorothy Dot Benson, an advocate for the aging, as well as Lois Evans, a current resident of Sandy Springs, who's concerned about finding affordable housing. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Mary, I want to begin with you. How serious is the problem of affordable housing for area seniors?
It's very serious. We estimate that there's about 57% of Atlanta's renters who are unable to afford rent at a rate that they can live well. That means that they're paying more than 30% of their current income on housing and housing alone. And when that happens, it doesn't leave much money for health care and food and other essential items.
And a lot of the counties are experiencing that. You have some numbers to share with us today.
Yes. It's across the region. Mm-hmm. It's no one county or one particular community that has it. It's just across the region. And what we're finding is that as a person ages, their housing needs change. They need housing that has no steps to get into mm-hmm. often. They need housing that's near services if they can't drive anymore. They need smaller housing. Their income becomes smaller and fixed often. So the needs that of a person that's raising a family in the community is very different as a person ages. And so those changes, we just don't have enough of that diversity of housing to meet the current need.
Mm. Lois Evans, I want to bring you into the conversation now. I understand that you live in Sandy Springs. Tell us about your living situation.
Well, I'm in an apartment, top floor apartment, and I have a 18-month lease, which will be up the end of this year. And I've been told that the rent will be going up $250.
What do you pay now?
I pay $1,058 a month.
Well, so approximately $1,300 a month is what your rent will be, you're saying, at the start of next year.
Yes.
What does that mean for you in terms of affordability and your ability to pay for housing?
Well, it means that I may have to cut back on some things, and that what I'm really interested in is bringing my daughter to live with me. She has multiple sclerosis, and her husband has had a stroke. So if we could get something together, it would mean an awful lot.
How common, Mary, is a story like Lois's, that they move to an area to have ties to their family, to be close, and then a situation like the market interferes with their ability to live comfortably?
Yes, unfortunately, it's all too common. You know, we're seeing multiple generations of families that are having to try to live together in order to be able to afford the rent. And while there seems to be, in some areas, a boom in senior housing, it's not the affordable type housing that people such as Ms. Evans need. People that are less affluent just do not have enough choices. It's estimated in the region where Ms. Evans lives, which is North Fulton, that there's only about 10% of the house, and that could actually meet their needs for a person such as herself.
And just to be clear, Ms. Evans, you don't live in a specific senior community, is that right?
No.
Dot Benson, I want to bring you into this conversation. You are an advocate.
Yes.
And you're fighting for the rights for affordable housing for your peers.
My name is Dot Benson, and I've been working to try to improve the quality of life for seniors in North Fulton for the last 35 years. And housing has always been at the top of the list. There just is not enough of it. Now, Ms. Evans didn't fail to tell you that she lives on the top floor of this apartment, mm-hmm. and she's 86. She has to walk up steps to get home, carrying groceries or whatever she's carrying. And that's not acceptable. You need first floor apartments for people that are aging, and other bars for them to keep from falling, and no steps to go up and down. And this is what would increase the quality of life for these older people. And I say these older people, I'm one of them, you know.
You're a spring chicken, you're 95, right?
I'm 95, I'll be 96 in June, yeah. So I understand and I know what the needs are. I don't live in an apartment myself, but I do know what the needs are, and the thing is there is no place for people to go. They need an apartment today, not a year from now. And the only way that these apartments become available, somebody dies. Now that's a gruesome thing to think about, mm-hmm. but this is a fact. A person has to die, or because you can't move out, where do you move to? You know.
Dot, let me ask you this. How often do you hear stories where people are sacrificing maybe food just because they want to make sure they have residence, they want to make sure they have a roof over their head? Do you hear stories that people are sacrificing meals just so they can make ends meet to meet the rent?
Absolutely, because if they're paying more than 30% of their income, what is the balance to live on? Mm-hmm. And that is generally not enough for food and clothing and transportation and medical expenses. And so they are sacrificing something else in order to pay for rent. And this isn't acceptable, not in a country like the United States.
Mary, I think there's a perception out there that as people age, they become more comfortable in their housing situation. You know, a 30-year mortgage might have been paid off decades ago. So maybe there's a misconception of what senior housing and affordability look like. Talk about that.
Yes, I think that is a misconception. Most people do want to age in their own home, but they don't often plan for an unexpected illness or an accident that could affect their mobility, their ability to drive. For people that are age very healthy, it's okay to be in your own home, and maybe they can afford it. But what we're saying is that there has to be more options out there. That lifestyle will fit a particular person, but we need to have a diversity of housing sizes, housing affordability, different price points, and they especially need to be near services. Most, on average, a senior will outlive their ability to drive by 7 to 10 years. And if they're in a community disconnected from services and on their own, they can become isolated very quickly, and that can lead to depression and a really quick downward spiral in their health.
And I think Mrs. Benson touched on something, and that is this issue of moving, right? Just because rent goes up, it may be more difficult for a senior or impossible for a senior to move to a more affordable place.
That's true. And we also are seeing seniors who can no longer afford or are able to keep up the homes they've been into their whole life. And so they're not safe. They're not often they don't have ramps or other accommodations that they need as their abilities change. And so they may be in the house because they're unable to move, but it may not be the best place for them to be.
Ms. Evans, I want to bring you back into the conversation. You said your lease, you're on an 18-month lease. Are you having any luck trying to find something for you and your daughter?
No, so far, no.
Mary, are there any resources out there?
Yes, we have trained counselors at ARC who work with people to find housing and also accommodate any of their other needs that they have as they age. And I do want to give you that number. It's 404-463-3333. And it's the agewiseconnection.com. And they have worked with Ms. Evans, and they look, because Ms. Evans needs to be near MARTA because she no longer can drive, and she wants to stay in her community where she has her friends, her church, all of her support is there. There was only 3 or 4 affordable housing units in the area, and they all have waiting lists. And that's what we find often, is that the resources are just not there. The waiting lists are long, and how long should someone at 86 have to wait for housing that they can live in?
Ms. Benson, where do you currently live, Dot Benson?
I live in Alpharetta.
And so you're in a stable situation?
Well, I'm fortunate in that I'm one of the people that do own their own home. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's many of us that are living on our Social Security, and I'm also one of those. My income is my Social Security.
That's all you get?
There with a very small amount that comes in from one other source, which still puts me in the category that I don't have to pay income tax. I guess that tells you something.
Ms. Benson, you talk about being an advocate for seniors and senior housing. Who's listening? Who are you telling this story to?
Well, you know, we have the Benson Center in Sandy Springs, and I have created a committee, and we're working on trying to get some housing built there. But that's what we're working through the Atlanta Regional Commission and getting statistics so that we have some talking points and what needs to be done. And, of course, some of the solution has to go through the local government, the city government, and the county government, such as zoning regulations and things like that. In other words, when a contractor comes in to build a large apartment complex, that they must put 24% or 30% of those apartments into the affordable housing program. And if we had this kind of cooperation, at least we would be getting some housing added to what we have. And right now, nothing's being added.
Mary of the Atlanta Regional Commission, when Mrs. Benson speaks, I imagine she captivates people and they listen. But are there enough Mrs. Bensons out here who are, you know, beating this drum that this is a serious issue for Atlanta?
I think the number is growing. This policy briefing that we developed was a step to try to articulate the problem. I think a lot of people still aren't aware, not enough people aware, that this is a growing problem. It's a problem we have right now. And as Ms. Benson said, it takes many different partners to solve this. The state can do their part in providing incentives and vouchers to help people bridge that gap between affordable housing and not. And then local communities and cities also can offer incentives, as she said, for developers and for other people to be incentivized to come in and build this type of housing. So it takes many partners and many people like Ms. Benson and ARC working together to spread the message.
And Mary, we've been focusing on the aging population, but there's another demographic too, and that's those that are living with disabilities. And I imagine the challenge is even greater for them because of access, in terms of actual physical access to these facilities.
Yes, we do know that over 70% of older adults, if they live long enough, are going to have a disability that's going to affect their mobility at some point. But persons with disabilities also at a younger age are facing this. And it's even more important for them because often they can't drive, for them to be near services, to be near transportation. And we know that a disability also over a lifetime affects a person's income. So we're looking at people that already have a lower income because of that.
Ms. Evans, as we wrap up, what do you want city officials, elected officials, the state agencies, developers to know about the importance of having affordable housing for seniors and those that are disabled?
I'd like them to know that more facilities need to be available because of the waiting list. The three that I was notified of that are in Sandy Springs, they have a tremendous waiting list. And I'd like to, you know, to have some place where I could, you know, live with my daughter and mm-hmm. her husband. Like I said, my daughter has MS mm-hmm. and she's getting disability. My son-in-law had a stroke. He's on disability. So if, you know, we could find some place affordable where they, because right now they're up on the top floor and the stairs that they have to come down mm-hmm. to get to the car is wrought iron, and I get so afraid that they're going to having to walk with a cane mm-hmm. down those steps. And my daughter, you know, she can still drive, but she can't drive long distances. So they have to park in the back and walk walk around from the front. If she goes out the front door, it's a little bit better because the stairs are carpeted. But I just wish we could, you know, that there would be some kind of housing available, affordable housing for the three of us.
And Dot, what's your message? What do you want people to know?
I want them to know that there's 10,000 seniors that enter the market every day in the United States, but there's not 10,000 units being built for them to live in. And so we need to, this is a crisis stage right now. We're not approaching a crisis stage. We're already in it. So let's get going.
We've been talking about affordable housing for the aging. Our guests have been Lois Evans, a current resident of Sandy Springs, who's concerned about finding affordable housing. Dorothy Dot Benson, an advocate for the aging. And also with us has been Mary Blumberg. She works with the Atlanta Regional Commission's Division of Aging and Health Resources. Thank you all so much for coming in and sharing your stories.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.